Autobots, transform!
Well, hey, welcome back to the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. I'm Paul.
I'm John.
And today it is episode 39 of Transformers Cybertron. It is giant.
This episode was written by Hiro Masaki, and the last time on Transformers Cybertron, the Autobots entered a tunnel to Gigantion after they got all their shots. And on this episode, we're on the Kijiji, and Scattershot is trying to find the Atlantis.
Yeah, he's running a tracking program to find Bud, but it doesn't work, and Six-Speed, he beeps something that Lori translates, because Lori can understand him now, I guess. As him thinking there's another way they can do this. If Starscream's going to Gigantion, then Bud will be going along for the ride with him on the Atlantis, which they left behind them, and all they need to do is get there first and wait for Starscream to show up. And if he doesn't show up, they'll go get him.
Then Scattershot, like, right away picks up this heat image of... It's clearly a planet with rings, but Vector Prime goes, no, I've never seen a star with rings. But doesn't every star have rings at the beginning? It's called, like, an accretion disk, I think is the term. I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but it's the matter around a star that eventually turns into planets.
Well, yeah, before it eventually...
There's no point...
Forms into something else.
In trying to make logic of this show. They fly past a bunch of asteroids on their way to Gigantion that all have tool marks on them.
Yeah, they see that there's tool marks in these things, and they wonder what kind of tool could have made those marks. And now they're at the planet, and they act like this huge friggin' planet just appeared out of nowhere. It's like,
right? Oh,
there it is. Like, you would have seen it coming, guys. Like, it would be appearing to get larger out the window.
Again, Kobe even says, do you think it's really a planet? No, Kobe, it's a fucking toaster oven. But they do notice that it's covered in cities.
Yeah, and again, now Safeguard beeps and boops something, and Vector Prime translates him as he wants to get down there, and Kobe wants to get down there and rescue Bud, and for all he knows, though, Bud isn't even there yet, but they all agree they need to get to the Cyber Planet Key before Starscream does, so they're going to get down there.
You know, something I noticed about Kobe and Lori this episode is they have smaller eyes relative to their head, which makes them look older. We've been talking about how this show is aging them up. I'm going to die on that hill now. This show is trying to make them older. But yeah, they get on the surface of Gigantion, and it conveniently has an Earth-like atmosphere.
Yep, so Kobe and Lori can breathe, and like, there's even clouds in the sky, like a nice blue sky. And even though they're in this huge city, there's nobody around.
Yeah, they're looking around for nobody. It's deserted. And then Safeguard finds this giant rock. Like, and it's not actually, no, it's not a rock. It's like a giant, almost, it's a monolith, really. And it's blocking some kind of doorway, they figure.
Yep. And because he's too stupid to think that maybe it was put there to keep something in instead of to keep something out, Wingding transforms and says the magic words, abracadabra, rock becomes door, and rams into it. And that didn't work.
Except we all know that the actual magic words are a la peanut butter sandwiches.
Yeah.
But,
yes.
All the Autobots, they cyber key and they attack the door at once. They all blast at it. Although at the very beginning, like Leo Breaker and Snarl, I think Optimus is like, you guys scratch it. And they like, eh, and they make one scratch and then the rest of them blow
it's
through
just
like
this little pisshead attempt.
Yeah. So they blow through this giant rock. They make conveniently, it's just a human sized hole. So the kids and the minicons have to go.
So they're going to go inside and it leads to some kind of a control room, but it's an absolute mess and clearly long abandoned. And Safeguard tells them that the inhabitants of Giant Planet build a city, then abandon it and build a new one. And shouldn't Six-Speed have known that too? Like, he's from this place. He could have told them that and saved them some time.
That's the thing. If Safeguard knew it or if Six-Speed knew it, why didn't they already say it? Because the writers are, or the translators are coming up with this on the
block
fly.
Of wood.
Yeah. Anyway, so the Autobots decided they're going to split up and search, and they still find nothing.
Yeah, just like that, they've searched every city on the entire planet, and now Hotshot's getting worried that Starscream might show up soon. And back at the ship, Scattershot picks up a faint signal from underground, and the Autobots head to check that out.
Yeah, as they're heading there, though, the ground starts shaking, and then it stops, and then they continue on. Did that matter? I don't think so. But eventually,
Lori has that line like it might be an earthquake, and it was Jolt last time that said that, right? Like, can't be an earthquake because we're not on Earth. But none of them point that out this time
because none of them are smart ass as Jolt. But what they do find is not an earthquake. It's, I guess, a city under construction and commercial break.
Yeah, it just comes up out of the ground, and once the shaking stops, Scattershot confirms, yeah, that's where the signal was coming from. And when we come back from the commercial, and how many times has this happened in these shows. The kids get out and enter a construction yard without piece one, a proper safety equipment, and sure enough, they nearly get an I-beam dropped on them. But Landmine manages to catch it with a shovel, but it's too heavy for him to hold.
Yeah, it's not just an I-beam. It's friggin' massive, because even Optimus runs in to help.
Yeah.
And then a Transformer, let's call him Scottish.
Yeah, there's a voice tells him, hold tight. And it's like some kind of construction vehicle comes driving towards them and starts to transform. And I thought he talked like Sheol Gorath from the Elder Scrolls games. If you've ever played any of those, dear listener, it's not the same guy. I looked up the actors, but it's what it immediately reminded me of.
It reminded me of a Scottish accent as bad as James Doohan in Star Trek. And hey, I'm a big Star Trek fan, hardcore Trekkie here, but that Scotty accent was awful.
Yeah.
But anyway, this guy saves the kids in the intro.
It's right, it's brand new toy, it's a brand new Transformer, it's Metroplex!
Oh, there's a face we haven't seen in a while.
Who, me? I was here a couple episodes ago.
No, Metroplex.
It's right, it's Metroplex. He's a brand new toy and a brand new Transformer. He's Metroplex.
There's a face we haven't seen in a while.
Who, me? I was here a couple episodes ago.
No, Metroplex.
Jesus Christ.
It's right, it's Metroplex. He's a brand new toy and a brand new Transformer. He's Metroplex.
There's a face we haven't seen.
What you do, can it? It's Metroplex.
Sorry.
And yeah, it's long detailed transformation. And while he transforms, he goes on about how it's been X number of days since a lost time accident. Not on my watch. And Lori even tells him in the middle of the transformation, we should just hurry up already. But when he's finally done, he uses his stick with a saw on it, I guess, to cut this I-beam in half.
And like after he introduces himself as Metroplex and saves the kids, he immediately asks, hey, are you guys from Planet X? And Optimus is like, no, what's Planet X? He's like, I don't know, just something I heard of once.
Yeah, it's just there and done and never mentioned again. And then Metroplex berates the Transformer that dropped the I-beam earlier, and Kobe starts fixing Landmine with a screwdriver, like he just pulls it out. And did we hear the music that plays in the background right here before? Because it's this really upbeat, like, synth kind of music. It sounds like something from, like, a Mega Man game, like in a cutscene where he's talking to Dr. Light or something. It's really cool music. But a Minicon separates from Metroplex and runs to hug Six-Speed, and I guess these two are buddies, which explains why Six-Speed told the Autobots that his friend is the Minicon partner of the leader of the planet. Like, again, you could have started with that.
But then he goes to hug the kids, and I guess he hugs them a little too hard. But we go to, after that, like, Metroplex takes them somewhere. I don't know, the foreman's shed, but Metroplex is talking to them about the cyber planet key. Optimus is kind of explaining it, and then he introduced
it's right, it's a brand new toy, it's a brand new Transformer, it's Quick Mix.
That sounds like an instant muffin mix or something.
Hey, don't get me involved in your sick food fetishes, just buy the damn toy, would you?
How is that a food never mind, I don't want to know.
I do.
Hey, I'm with Jackass on this one. I don't want to know anything about his weird food fetishes.
I don't have a food fetish.
Methinks thou dost protest too much.
Hamlet, Act 3, Scene 2.
No, Cybertron, Season 2, Episode 13. Fucko.
Yeah, his name is Quick Mix, and he's a cement truck, and he knows a lot about a lot, Metroplex says, but he's never heard of the Cyber Key either, and this guy's accent, if you thought Metroplex's was bad, this guy's accent's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, it's
like,
really
it's a
bad.
Canadian actor doing a bad Newfoundland accent, trying to sound Scottish. Like, it starts in Newfoundland, the next thing you know, you're in fucking West London, and then you're up in Scotland, and then over to friggin' Dublin and back to St. John's. It's nuts.
It's something. But Quick Mix has actually heard of the key, and he says, oh, it's probably in the planet's central layer, but traveling there is illegal since they never visit a place they've left.
Yeah, it's against the rules, and rule number one is we never go back, we only go forward. And Kobe's like, all right, well, fine, you guys don't have to do it, just point the way, we'll go get it ourselves. But nope, that's not the way things are done here. Not even outsiders are allowed to go back on this planet.
Which, you know, makes sense. We've dealt with that idea in this series of, hey, you know, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. These are their laws, you should follow them. But then I don't know what he was going to do, actually. Vector Prime pulls his sword out to, I guess, open a warp gate. And I think it's Quick Mix is like, oh, you can make warp gates? And then it doesn't work. And we never establish what he was going to do or why.
Yeah. And also Metroplex says something about when they mention, oh, you can make warp gates, Metroplex says the others can warp travel too. So who are the others? But yeah, before he can explain who they are, a dump truck.
It's a brand new toy. It's a brand new Transformer. It's Menasor.
A planet full of giant construction vehicles, and the bad guy isn't Devastator.
What do I care? It's just another Transformer you can buy for your kids to try and win their love.
But This is just one Transformer.
So?
Menasor was a combiner.
So?
This is just one Transformer.
So?
Menasor is a combiner.
So?
This is just one Transformer.
Would you two can it? Look, it's Menasor, and he's a bad guy, and I guess he wants to bust through the giant rock block in the doorway.
Yeah, because he thinks the time for all these daft rules is over, and he's going to lead this planet in a new direction, but Quick Mix blasts him, and everybody's here now, including Megatron and the Decepticons.
How
and
convenient.
The Autobots are surprised to see him and wonder how he got through the tunnel, and I'm kind of wondering the same thing, and Megatron says he found a guide.
Yeah, and the guide just cheeses Optimus off by basically Gary Chalk doing the voice.
Well, yeah, I just put down that he's copying Optimus's voice, but yet now that you mention it, yeah, all the rest of his lines, you can tell it's Gary Chalk doing them.
Oh, he kind of gets stuck in it. It's like that guy who did, I don't know the actor's name, but the Elvis movie that came out a while ago. Like, it's, I don't know, if you hear any interviews with that guy, he did the Elvis voice in the movie, and now he's just stuck in it. Like, he can't get that affectation out of his voice. But it's like that. Yeah, from now on, Soundwave just sounds like Optimus, but... Menasor, yeah, like you said, he's going to lead the planet in a new direction, and then he attacks Evac, and Evac, like, grabs his drill bit, which is as big as him, and just stops it.
Yeah, and then I think Override runs in behind him to try and, like, she's, I'll back you up, like, she's holding him up from getting pushed down, because Menasor is huge compared to Evac, and then Soundwave, from his little perch where he's standing, he starts blasting at them. He says he's going to drop science on them when he starts blasting them.
Yeah, he's got some lines in this series that I think the translators thought was cool, but they are not. But this is where the big battle of the episode is. Quick Mix, the battle Scourge, Thundercracker starts chasing Landmine. He starts to do a spiral attack, but he actually gets shot down.
Yeah, just when Scourge runs at Quick Mix, though, just the way Quick Mix smashes him with the barrel arm, I'm just like, holy shit, that looked like it hurt. And it just tosses him.
Yeah, sends him flying.
But then Hotshot, Red Alert, and Scattershot, and I guess he's off the ship now because he was just sitting there with the controls, they all gang up on Thunderblast, who's just been standing there minding her own damn business. She's like, what, really? Three against one, guys? No, nope, they still shoot at her.
Yeah, so then Jetfire, he's guarding the kids. After, oh my god, Kobe's like, I should help. I'll just go back to the ship.
Yeah, even though this battle is clearly going in the Autobots' favor, Kobe thinks, I gotta help them. It's like, man, they're winning.
And what's going back to the ship gonna do, Kobe? Actually, to be fair, it would get you out of the line of fire, which makes sense, but Jetfire's like, no, you stay here and I'm gonna guard you. Whatever. Kobe is more and more, he and Lori are becoming useless in the actual plot. There is no reason they should have come along.
No.
Oh, sorry. Kobe had a screwdriver earlier. But Metroplex attacks Megatron, who combines with Nemesis Breaker.
Yeah, he forms Dark Claw mode, and it's the main event, I guess. And Metroplex swings at him, but Megatron dodges and lands a hit, which staggers Metroplex, even though he's fucking huge. But he stays on his feet, and Metroplex is like, aha, your legs are your weak point. I guess somebody figured that out. He dives at them, but Metroplex just jumps up and stomps Megatron flat.
Yeah, crushes him into the ground. And then we cut over to, like, Scourge, Thundercracker, Ransack, and Crumplezone. They're the Decepticons here. And they're like, we gotta go help. So they run to gang up on Metroplex. But he, like, they jump on him like a bunch of peewee football players trying to tackle the big kid on the other team.
Yes.
And he just smacks them all away.
Like, all it missed was Ransack doing, like, the Bugs Bunny headlock. That would have been fucking hilarious. But then Megatron, still under Metroplex's foot, says, this isn't over yet. And this reminded me of Yosemite Sam under the drawbridge in 99 Bucks. Like, you know, whatever he says. But yeah, he starts sparking and zapping, and he uses Nemesis Breaker's cyber key, and he tries his glowy, floaty smash attack, and then Metroplex uses his cyber key.
Yeah, and smashes them so hard, them being Megatron and Nemesis Breaker, smashes them so hard, they separate, and Megatron gets, like, smashed through a few stories of whatever building they're in.
And, well, then, when Nemesis Breaker just shows him skidding across the ground, and then he just disappears in a puff of smoke, or I guess it would be that darkness that Megatron made him out of, I think he's gone.
I think he might be, especially with what's going to happen to Megatron. But the Decepticons all rush to Megatron, and they help him escape, which felt very un-Decepticon. What they should have done is just fleed, and then Scourge would try to take command later. But that's not what happens. They slink away with Megatron.
Yeah, I guess there's a tunnel at the bottom of this crater that Metroplex put him in. But Optimus tells Metroplex that Megatron is after the Cyber Planet Key, too. So Metroplex and Quick Mix just nod at each other, and that's it. They discussed it. Apparently, just nodding was the discussion. They're going to help the Autobots.
And because of that, they magically get Autobot insignias, and then they all shake hands, which I guess is the universal greeting now, not Ba Weep Brunna Weep Nimni Bomb Bong, but... then Lori, this last line made me laugh because Lori's like, hey, our team's getting bigger and bigger because we're all so likable, but the Decepticons team is getting bigger too, Lori.
Well, we're here on Giganson, and the local custom is building cities. Fine. Velocitron was racing, Jungle Planet was fighting, here it's construction. So how come Metroplex doesn't challenge the Autobots to a building contest or something? They had to work for the keys on the other planets by participating in the local customs. Why not here? Speaking of which, how come the Autobots didn't ask Six-Speed about his planet's customs? What to expect, what to wear, what not to say, whether there's oxygen for the kids to breathe? Anyway, the inhabitants have heard of the key, but they can't get it or even let the Autobots get it themselves because rule number one is they never go back. Well, if that's the case, then they're eventually going to run out of places to build. If you put puzzles together, you don't leave them over every flat surface in the house after you build them and get them finished and eat your dinner standing at the sink for the rest of your life. You take them apart and put them back in the box or put them on the wall if you want. Well, there's your answer, guys. Well, not putting them on the wall, but you can keep building cities and never go back for as long as you want. Just have one crew building things and then a few miles behind them have another one tearing it back down. Wake up, Paul. Scott's taking down the city. You can't go back to something you've already built if you never finish building it. Plus, you can reuse the materials. It's too bad they don't have a transformer on this planet of construction vehicles, though, that likes to destroy things, dare I say, devastate things, or that such a transformer has never existed in any incarnation of Transformers ever before, because he'd be perfectly...
Here we are at the end of another episode of the Transformers Nitpickers Podcast Show. This episode was giant, Paul. What did you like about this episode that was big?
Speaking of big, it was the fights. Like, when Quick Mix just clobber scores. Like, I actually said it and went, whoa, like that fucking hurt. And then later, Metroplex just hits a home run with Megatron with that saw and a stick thing he's got. I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, the stomping on Megatron was pretty cool too. Yeah, the combat was good. I did like, because we had said, oh, they better be like big on Gigantion. And they are. They're all giant big Transformers. I like that they did that. And this story seems to be moving pretty well. That said, I'm kind of comparing it to Velocitron, which took 87 episodes to get anywhere.
Yeah. Well, it's like what I said, they're not going to have a built, they're not going to have to do something to impress the leader of the planet, like a fight. They're not going to have to race or anything like that. They're just moving it right along. It's like, okay, that guy is obviously bad news. You're here for what he's here to. You seem like a good guy. We're going to help you. There, yeah. Done.
Although it would have been cool if they did like pull out the Lego sets or like a Jenga tower and that yes. was the competition. The next episode Paul and I are going to review is Fury. If you want to send us an angry email, don't. Just send us nice emails. We're nice guys. We like nice emails. But you can send them to transformersnitpickers@gmail.com.
Yeah, make sure you rate and review us on your podcast app, whatever it is you listen to us with, and tell all your friends, tell everybody you know.
You can tell them that they can find old episodes of the Transformers Nitpickers podcast show at transformersnitpickers.podbean.com. And until the next episode, keep on transforming.
See you later. Hold tight.